Good morning, everyone, and welcome as we gather together in the name of Christ and the worship of God. It's good to be sharing together and to be together again this morning. A word of welcome also to those of you who will be listening to the service at a later time. And once again, we greet you in the name of Christ and glad that we're able to share together. So grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord our God, great, eternal, wonderful, utterly to be trusted, you give life to all, you help those who come to you, you give hope to those who cry out to you. Please set our hearts and minds at peace as we come to you now. Please accept all that we offer to you in and through that which Christ offers for us, and in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord the Almighty as we stand to sing. As we've just sung, we do indeed give you praise, for you are a great and a mighty God. We thank you for the extraordinary world in which we live and for the glimpses of your creativity that we witness around us. Dear Lord, it's in the face of who you are that we come and acknowledge who we are, that we are not the people that you have called us to be. And so we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, words, and action. By what we have done, and at times by what we have left undone. We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart, nor those around us as we should. For the sake of your Son Jesus, forgive us, have mercy on us, and help us as we seek to forgive one another, that we from this moment may once again serve you in newness of life. For we pray in and through the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read that those who are in Christ are a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. And so we're able to share and to know the good news that because of what Christ has done for us, we are forgiven and we're able to say, thanks be to God. And so as a renewed and forgiven people, we take a moment to share a word of peace with those nearby us. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Amen. Well, again, good morning and welcome as we gather. And just a couple of things to mention here as we start to get back into the year. There'll be some more things that we need to share, but just a couple of things, particularly this morning. You'll note in your news sheet there that Courtney returns this week. And the thunderous applause from Wendy there. But we do indeed look forward to her coming back and continuing her work amongst us, which is great. Also, to mention a couple of other things. One is in regards to a service that's coming up on the 24th of January. And it's a national event, but certainly from the Uniting Church Assembly. And it's a service of day of mourning within the life of the church. So I just want to read a couple of things from the information that's come through. And it's certainly connected with, for more than 30 years, the Uniting Church has been in covenant with the Uniting Aboriginal and Island Christian Congress. So they're right. Bound together by shared faith, witness and a dream for God's justice and healing, we walk together as first and second peoples, sharing in solidarity, joy and sorrow on the path to rest. As part of this enduring commitment and in this spirit, you're invited to mark the Uniting Church Day of Mourning on Sunday, the 19th of January. There's some more information, but it's a public event and it's hosted by the Queensland Synod this year. And the service will commence in King George Square around 5, I think there's opportunity to gather there and then move across to Albert Street Uniting Church at around 6 o'clock. It'll also be live streamed, and so there may be some of you who'd like to watch that and to go, you find that via the Assembly Facebook page. And there'll be a live stream there Sunday the 19th in the afternoon. And then finally, just to share just a brief update in regards to Bill, who continues in hospital. And this week, Bill's continued to have some exploratory procedures during the week, and there's still some uncertainty as to what that all means for him. But as I said, he remains in hospital. Jan has gone there. If Jen was to go this morning, and hopefully to be there when the doctors come and just to have some further conversation. about what lays ahead next for Bill. So please continue your prayers for Bill at this time, and indeed for Jan as well. Prior to our Bible readings, and this morning we'll hear, as you can see, from Psalm 42 and Matthew 5, we've seen two verses of I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. The remaining verses we'll sing after the message this morning, but at this point, first two verses of I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. Firstly, from Psalm 42, thank you, Margot.
First reading is Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food, day and night. While men say to me all day long, where is your God? And the second reading is Matthew 5, verses 13-16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and raise your Father in heaven. That's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've done a three-point sermon since I've been here. This morning is a three-point sermon. In fact, my third point has 3 points. So the good old three-point sermon coming up here shortly. As I mentioned last Sunday, today I want to offer some reflections, some thoughts about our life together as a congregation into this new year, 2025. And I want to use the analogy of renovation. I'm going to mix my metaphors a little bit this morning, but to use the analogy of renovation, I'm not a huge watcher of those TV renovation shows. For example, I don't ever recall watching a full episode of Channel 9's The Block, and it's been going for, 20 years? I don't think I've ever watched a full episode of it, and I think that's okay. Occasionally Better Homes and Gardens, which is a really interesting show, and I used to love watching Backyard Blitz. Remember Backyard Blitz all those years ago? And everything was done in a weekend. Gee, renovating, if only, weekend. As I said in the annual reports booklet, when renovating, we often do one room at a time. And my guess is that will be our 2025, one room at a time. And as with some renovations, they sometimes go a little longer than anticipated, which might happen this morning with the message, so just bear with me in how we go here. Detail this morning about the specifics or what the plan will be for this year. There'll be some work that the church council will do in the next month or so to look more specifically at some things. But today, and to continue the renovation analogy, today it's about, I guess in my mind, it's about setting up some scaffolding, a framework around 2025. But the scaffolding won't be complete today, okay? It might get around two sides of the house, as it were, but there'll still be lots of scaffolding in the truck that's going to be used yet, and that'll be unloaded some other time. But so this morning is a beginning. And as with renovating, certain people come and they do their thing. Plumbers, electricians, plasterers, painters, tilers, a different focus, each of them, with their own different set of skills. And sometimes those tasks overlap and happen at the same time, and other tasks are completed and then the next person comes and does their bit. The plumber finishes his or her job and then goes on to the next site, and then the plasterer comes in. Okay, there's startings and there's endings. And this is probably what we'll discover this year and beyond. Some things are started, some things are ended. Now, that's the natural cycle of things, where we consider what we start, what we continue, and what we stop. And you've been doing that across your entire life, whether you're conscious of it or not. Assessing this is something to begin, and to continue to do that, and some assessment of when to stop. And the same in the life of the church. But one room at a time. My guess is that we will continue to do a lot of what we are already doing. Maybe a few tweaks here and there, but to do what we're already doing. But while one room is being renovated, we might also venture outside, as it were, and see if we can start something new in the garden. You get the idea? Something like that. We will give some new things a go this year. Some things will be natural and obvious to us. Some things might not be. And we do so with our best... Oh, let me start on. We do so with our best wisdom and prayer. We will need each other's insights. We'll also need extra measures of grace and kindness to each other. Extra measures of grace and kindness. We will need an ever-increasing sense of cooperation and openness, especially when that something is beyond our experience or natural inclination or likes. And again, that renovation analogy, most of the house during the renovation will be as it is. We'll do one room at a time and see if it works. See how it looks as the renovation continues. And now just remember that I've been here for 3 months, okay? So here's some observations thus far. That passage from Matthew chapter 5. Prior to those verses in Matthew 5 is what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Characteristics of those who follow Jesus, who live within his kingdom. And what follows this general description of, as it were, of a disciple's character are verses that talk about the effect that that character is to have in the life and witness of a follower of Jesus, including that of being salt and light, as we heard this morning. Salt serves mainly to give flavour and to prevent deterioration. Followers of Jesus, his disciples, to be true to their calling, make the earth, make their society, make their circle of connection a purer and more palatable place to be, as Richard Francis in his commentary puts it, a purer and more palatable place. Now, strictly speaking, or chemically speaking, salt cannot lose its saltiness. But impure salt that was dug up from the Dead Sea can lose its saltiness. But you see, Jesus was not doing a lesson in chemistry here. He's teaching about life in the kingdom. The Greek word used here for salt that has lost its taste, as it's used here, actually means to become foolish. So in putting it this way, Jesus is saying that a foolish disciple has no influence on the world. So as a follower of Jesus, we're to be salt. We're to stay salt, to preserve our influence, our impact on the world around us. And similarly, for light. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. Light, like salt, affects its environment. Both of them do so by being distinctive. Jesus is the light of the world, and when verse 16 talks about good works, it does so simply to say that the aim of those good works is not to boast or show off how good we are, but direct all the attention to God who inspires us to do them, to point to the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Jesus goes on to say, a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. It's conspicuous by its very presence. It's distinctive. And neither salt nor light exist for themselves. They only fulfill their purpose in making an impact upon that in which they have been placed. Jesus goes on to say, no one after lighting a lamp puts it under a bushel. No one puts it under a basket, but on the lampstand it gives light to all of the house. Now, in biblical days, a bushel was a container that was used to measure out grain and dry goods, about the size of a 10-gallon bucket, I guess, 35 litres. So, anyway, a bucket size, about that. And so Jesus is saying, well, you don't take this bucket and cover over your light. Once it's been lit, it defeats the purpose. The bushel is a hindrance. It gets in the way. It's an obstacle to the light of Christ shining out from us. And this morning is an opportunity to examine some of the bushels that might hide the light from getting out from us. And so, just in the next little while, I hope in lifting some of these bushels, some from the light, to be able also lift some burdens that some of us may feel, that some of us may carry. Or to put it another way, as we think about who we are and what might our future be, is there something that holds us down, something that weighs us down? And if so, what might there be that we can... What are the bushels that can be lifted from us, uncovered, as it were, and enable the light of Christ to shine a little brighter? So picking up on those verses from Matthew and in regards to our future, I want to talk about, and here's my 3 points, okay? I know we're into the sermon a little bit and you haven't seen any of the 3 points yet, but here they are, okay? And I've called them the 3 bushels, okay? So again, a bushel is a cover that you lift off. Covers. One, it isn't you. Two, it's not dependent on you. And three, it is you. Now, that quite possibly made things even more confusing than shed any light on the matter. But bear with me as I unpack this bit. First of all, it isn't you. Now, straight up, as I have said previously, there are some great things happening within the life of this congregation. You are doing so well. Okay, and together, and I just want to acknowledge that, and I've said it before. And in fact, I'm going to quote myself here in my annual report, in the annual report booklet, where I said this: I want to express appreciation for the faithfulness and commitment of members of the congregation who have continued to gather for worship, for fellowship, and for community. Across the ups and downs and the to and fro of life, both individually as a congregation, you've continued to gather within the fellowship of God's people and serve our Lord. Whether you're more recently arrived or a very long-term attender, thank you for giving of yourself, your abilities, your time, your financial resources, your gifts, your heart, mind and soul. In the midst of many changes, you have continued to seek God in this place and in your community. So an important starting point is acknowledging who we currently are. And that might be an obvious thing to say, but it's important nonetheless. We start with who we are at present. So there is a past, here we are at the present, but what that might that mean as we think about the future? Now, it's true that we mostly here are an older demographic, if I can put it that way. Okay. Now, Kenmore Uniting Church is not alone in that reality. In many places across the life of the church, and certainly within the Uniting Church, we're not alone in that. Okay, and we need to hear that. We're not unique in that sense. We're not on our lonesome when we think about the things that are before us. Now, there's some congregations where that's not the case, and it's important to acknowledge that as well. But the world around us has changed dramatically. It's always been changing, but over the last 10, 20, 30 years, there's been a marked change in our society, including the place of the church in society. In years gone by, central to the life of the community was the school, the church, the pub, the community hall, and the post office. But not anymore. That changed years ago. And how the church is viewed, including people's knowledge of Jesus, mixing up fact from fiction about who he was and even his existence, has changed significantly. The church is now not only viewed as irrelevant, with the Christian worldview being actively dismissed a lot of times, there is also often an aggressive antagonism towards the church, such that the church is to be avoided at all costs. This is the ever-increasing world, as we that we find ourselves and that we're looking to serve Jesus in. Now, I'm more and more of the opinion that our conversations with those we meet and sometimes share life with who are not into God, Jesus, and the church is about listening to how they came to that opinion and learning to be able to say to them, okay, here's what I've learned and this is how I understand the world to be, or something similar to that. Here's why following Jesus is important to me. How following Jesus has changed my life and my world. And that's the kind of conversations that I think we can be more and more attuned to throughout 2025 and the many, many opportunities that already exist within the life of our congregation and might yet be coming for us. You see, despite the changes that have happened around us and to us, and despite at times the perceived irrelevance of the church, Christianity has something particular that speaks to one of the great needs of society at this time, and that is connection, belonging, and relationship, each of which runs counter to the deep sense of loneliness and isolation that characterises many people's walk. So the first bushel to lift from our lamp is that it's not you. It's not you. The world has changed dramatically around us. Now, when we think further about that and take some steps back and get the wider perspective, could the congregation, for example, have done things different over the years? Maybe. Could we have been better alert to these kinds of societal changes? Well, maybe. Could we have cared for each other with more compassion at times? Well, maybe. It's an old thing about change. There are some things we can control and there's other things that we can't control. And there's so much about the point in time that we have reached as a congregation that's been outside of our control. There have been and continue to be so many changes in the world around us. It isn't you. It doesn't come down to you. And that leads me to my second point. It's not dependent on you. The future of this congregation is not dependent on you. Let's lift that bushel off and be free from it. The future of this congregation is not dependent on you. Now, before you jump on the phone to Glenn, the presbytery minister, and tell him that the minister has gone completely out of his mind, let me explain what I mean. The church is the body of Christ. Not my body or your body, but Christ with him as its head. The church belongs to Christ. The body of Christ is localised into particular gatherings, and one of them is here. But we're still the body of Christ. Long after we leave this mortal coil, the church will continue to be, as it has been for the last 2,000 years. The gospel will continue to be proclaimed until that great and glorious day when we gather around the throne of Christ. Now, to illustrate this point, that the church is not dependent on us, I want to read something called Prophets of a Future Not Our Own, which is written by Father Ken Untinter in 1979. It's often referred to as Oscar Romero's prayer, and I suspect that one or two of you have heard this previously. He wrote this. He said, "It helps now and then to step back and take a long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it's even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said, no prayer fully expresses our faith, no confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of liberation in realising that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end result, but that's the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders. Ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future not our own. You see, the future of this congregation is not dependent on us. What we do today, though, matters. So let's plant a seed. Let's provide, and I love this quote, let's provide opportunities for the Lord's grace to enter and for God to do the rest. Let's be open to what God is asking of us today. Mindful of the future, yes, but let's be about finding about what God is doing in our midst and in the community beyond us today and join in. Which leads me to my third and final point. So we've had it isn't you, it's not dependent on you, and the third point, what is you? So although the future of the church is not dependent on us, there's some responsibilities that we do have in the present, in the here and now. And this is where it's helpful to reflect, what's it all about? And that was one of the points posed by Father Ken Untinter there. And what my experience tells me is that amongst all that we seek to do and commit to God, it comes down to encountering the living God. Individually, as a congregation, as a community beyond us, pointing to Jesus, living an authentic life as a follower of Jesus and telling our story and inviting others to know him and to follow him, to find out what God's doing and join in. There'll be some particular things that we do across this year, but I want to finish by asking you to do three things. And this is my third point that has three points. And they're very brief, so it's okay. So plant a seed or water a seed that's already been planted. Earlier I talked about the importance of connection and belonging, about the fellowship that we share together. There's so many opportunities, so many seeds that are already planted here for this to happen. The men's lunch, which is a great gathering, really great, really enjoy that. Mahjong, quiltabouts, touchstones, refresh shop, women's fellowship, music lovers, Bible study, cool and classic. The groups of you at Iona and Fairview and at 17 Marshall Lane and others. There are all these great opportunities to water the seeds that have been planted there for connection and belonging. And as I said in my report, in the annual reports, whatever the future looks like, it will be important that we seek to build a sense of belonging and community. That people know that they're cared for by each other. And that as they experience that care, to know the God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, as we heard earlier on. Secondly, it's a bit small there, but think about where you are at. Including think about, amongst the things that I'm currently doing, the responsibilities that I do I need a break? Am I okay? Do I need a rest for a little bit? Now, I remember many years ago, my responsibilities within the church started to get to me. They zapped me of my joy. They zapped me of my service and my joy in fellowship. Please give that some thought and let me know. Now, it's a bit scary for me to say that to you, Okay? But please do, it's important. If you need a rest, let me know. Okay? And thirdly, and finally, the third thing I ask of you is to pray. To pray and pray. Folks, we're not going to be able to move confidently into our future as individuals, let alone as a congregation, without enveloping it, immersing it in prayer. Psalm 42 might be helpful for us there. My soul, as a deer longs for water, so my soul longs for God. I was going to say a little bit more about this next week, especially for those of us who struggle with prayer. But today I simply encourage you to pray. I want to do this in a practical way, to ask you for the next 6 months until the end of June to pray sometime on a Monday between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Even if it's only for a few minutes. To pray for the present and the future of this congregation. It's worth it. And we're worth it. Okay? It would be great to say at a specific time, oh, let's all do it between 7 and 8. That's just not been practical. I mean, we're all doing all sorts of stuff all over the place. So sometime between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on a Monday, starting tomorrow, would you please pray, just for, even for a few minutes, for the life of our congregation. Now, I'm keen to do something corporately, but I just want to talk with church council about that, maybe whether we gather monthly or there's something else that we can do corporately, but that's for something further. These are some verses from Mark 12 where it picks up a little bit on Kenmore, heart, mind, soul. So we've covered a lot of ground today, and will there be other things to say apart from what I've shared this morning? Yes, certainly, but that's more than enough for today. And I know that's been a little bit longer and that there's a lot that we've done, so thank you for your forbearance there. So out of all that I've said, I simply, maybe it's not so simple, encourage you to do three things. To water a seed that's already been planted in amongst the groups that you share in, to encourage the sense of connection and belonging. Secondly, and thirdly, to pray, to do those three things. That's all I'm asking of you. Including the last one, which is to pray, and so let's do that. We pray. God, the Father and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, help us to be still enough to hear the heartbeat of your creation. Grant us courage so that we can stand with you today. Guide us in your ways, so that our decisions will represent our relationship with you. Please, O Lord, calm us when trouble threatens, so that our words and actions are yours. Remind us that your Spirit, the Helper, is with us always. Comfort us in times of difficulty and struggle and pain. And open our eyes further so that we can embrace even more of you and acknowledge you as our God forever. For we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing the three remaining verses of I Will Sing the Wondrous Story, and I invite you to stand. And during the verses, probably the last verse, I think we'll share in our offering.
Oh.
We pray. Out of the fullness of your gifts, O Lord, we bring these offerings now. In dedicating this money to the work of Christ's church, we dedicate also ourselves and pledge that we will live this week in the service of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And next week, thanks Wendy, if you'd like to come forward. Then next week, I think will be our final week for Christmas Bowl. I think we'll do that for next week, maybe a couple of weeks. But then we'll have, when we conclude that, we'll have a particular prayer of dedication. Thanks for their work. Thanks, Wendy.
Dear Lord, thank you for the rain, but I think we've had enough. Please join me in our prayers of thanksgiving and our prayers for others, as we take time to centre on ourselves and think of others. Dear Lord, we give thanks for our family, our friends, our animal companions. The unconditional love they all give us is often taken for granted. God of wonder, God of love, we are aware of the things we enjoy and often take for granted. The gathering as family and community, feasting at tables of abundance, the capacity to enjoy a holiday. Creator, water pourer, hear our prayer for the world that we may find ourselves with you in the swirling dust of people's lives, living in the light, sharing love and justice. Hear us as we pray for those who live daily with fear and conflict and worry and violence. May we be peace bearers like doves flying from above. Hear us as we pray for our friends and family, for those seeking peace and those living with anxiety. Hear us as we pray for those around us and through whom we live life. Father, please hear our prayers and those of so many around the world as we pray for an end to the war in Ukraine. There has been so much suffering and so many lives lost. We pray that Russia retreats and allows the Ukraine to start the long road to recovery. We pray for a solution, or at least a ceasefire, to the conflict which is spreading in the Middle East. We pray for those in the community who are unwell. We especially pray for Bill and Jan and their family. We give thanks and pray for Minister David and his family. Lord, we pray for those in our congregation who are ill, who are frail, who are ageing. We pray that you walk alongside those in our congregation who need a little more assistance to live day by day. Water pourer, hear our prayers for the world that we may find ourselves with you as we pray together. Then, as Jesus taught us, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We sing Be Thou My Vision and A Blessing to Follow.
Thank you.
Well, we've covered a little bit of ground this morning, and certainly as I meet with you, and have done so far and will continue to do, listen for what your hopes and dreams into this year are for us together, and please continue to do that as we share each other's insights and hopes about our future. So go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good and render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honour all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Anne. Wonderful.